parking stairs. They're trying to think of ways around that. So he's filling up the bricks, put them in the barrel, and he thinks, you know, I'm just going to throw them all in there, you know, and then I won't have to be going up and down all these steps all the time. So he goes back down the four flights, and he unties the rope. It's then that he realized that a barrel full of bricks is much heavier than a man. So as soon as he lets loose of that rope, the barrel just starts flying down. You know, and it drags him up. He's holding on to the rope, trying to, you know, pull it back down. Well, they meet about halfway, and it catches him in the shoulder. First wound. So he's flying up to the top, and when he gets up to the fourth floor up there, he's holding on to this pulley, trying to get a grip on it. The barrel comes down and piles right into the ground. And when it does, the bottom falls out of the barrel. Now the bricks are sitting on the ground, and the barrel's empty. So now he's much heavier than the empty barrel. So he comes falling back down. The barrel shoots up. They meet again in the middle. This time he gets a wound on his shins. And, you know, that's the second wound. And so the light barrel goes all the way to the top. He hits the ground, and guess where he falls? Right on the sharp-cornered bricks. Wound number, what is it? Three. Yeah. Well, it's then he loses presence of mind and lets go of the rope. So now here's this barrel four stories up, you know, and even though nobody's, it's light, you know, nobody's holding it, so it comes down and hits him on the head. Wound number four. Sometimes we feel like the brick mason. We're up, then down. We don't know whether to hang on or let go. And we're being hit the whole time from all sides. Now, this man was causing his own problems. It was his fault. But what do you do when you're doing nothing wrong? You're following proper procedures, principles. Nothing seems to make sense. And you're getting battered from all sides. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? When I heard this lesson title, I thought, well, I need that. That's why I started working on this lesson. Because I need it probably more than anybody here. But it's something to consider. In Genesis chapter 39, the Bible will tell us some principles we can apply to our life when life doesn't make sense. This is a chapter in the life of Joseph. Jim had a really good lesson on the book of Genesis and Joseph's life, but you just can't get enough Joseph, can you? I just like his story. But Joseph was a man who loved God with all of his heart. He found himself in great difficulty, and you know the story. His brothers hated him. They were very jealous of him. There's one particular verse in Genesis chapter 37 that tells us how much Joseph's brothers hated him. And every time I think of it, I remember a trip that I took to Memphis. I think it was in 1971. I was in West Tennessee for school for about 2 years. And with some school chums, we went into Jackson a whole lot, getting pizza and stuff. And then a few times, we went to Memphis. It was only about 9 miles away, you know, from where we were. But on one trip, we went to the Lorraine Motel. And, you know, why do you think back? If you'll remember, the Lorraine Motel was where Martin Luther King was shot and killed on the back balcony of that building. And we went to see that, and at the time, it had only been about 3 years or so since he had been killed, I guess. But at the door, there was this big glass enclosure. You could go into the room in this building. And there was something up in there, and we got closer, and it looked like a big headstone was inside this up against the door. It was made of granite, carved, and there was a verse or something on it. And we got closer and started reading it. It was just amazing. We've enlisted the help of Ernest to do some reading today. Where are you? Stand up and read. Stand up and read. You can just stay right there if you want to. Or you are standing. Okay. That's all right. Genesis 37, first reading.
Say that animals and horses.
let's kill him and see what happens to his dream. I mean, was that just a perfect image of Martin Luther King? He had the great "I Have a Dream" speech, and it just really fit in the tragic circumstances of his death. Go ahead and sit down. We'll come back in just a minute. But if you remember, Joseph had these dreams. And in those dreams, you know, God was showing him a mighty purpose for his life. Do you ever feel that way, that God is preparing you for something, for a mission, for something that he can use you for? Joseph had those same dreams. In fact, in Joseph's case, they were God-given dreams, and he couldn't keep quiet about them, even when they inflamed his brothers. You know, when I read those verses, I keep thinking, don't say that, don't tell them, even to yourself. But Joseph couldn't. You know, they were God-given dreams, and God was putting them in his heart so strongly that he just had to talk about it. But it really inflamed his brothers. They became so angry, they thought about ways to kill him. But instead, they sold him into slavery, and a caravan carried him off into Egypt. So there he is, bought by a man named Potiphar. He's a slave now in Egypt, in Potiphar's house. Let's read again Genesis 39, verses 20 to 23. There you go. That second reading.
Yes, sir.
Joseph
took him
says, what did we read? The Lord was with Joseph. I want to give you some prison principles, we'll call them, on how to practice the presence of God when you're in a dungeon or prison and it's not your fault. And even if you're not in prison, these principles will work for you. Joseph here was a slave bought by Potiphar. He's in charge of Potiphar's household. But Joseph was such a man of integrity, such a man of industry, that as a slave, Potiphar found himself trusting Joseph more and more. He's rising higher and higher in Potiphar's house. The scripture said that God gave him success. So it was the Lord's doing, you know, that was taking place in Joseph's life. And pretty soon he was taking care of all the affairs of Mr. Potiphar. Potiphar so trusted Joseph that he could say that all he had to worry about was the food right in front of him. That wouldn't be a bad thing. So Potiphar's in a pretty good position now. He's got somebody to take care of all these things. And he trusted Joseph. He left all these things in Joseph's hands. And Joseph was an incredible individual. Even as a slave, God was with him, and he's ascending higher and higher and higher. But Joseph was still a young man. The Bible tells us that he was, how old when he was sold into slavery? Remember? 17, right? So he's still a young man, and we don't know how long he was there in Potiphar's house as a slave. But pretty soon, he was a handsome man, virile, and Potiphar's wife began to lust after him and tried to seduce him. And Joseph refused Potiphar's wife. She took him by the coat and tried to drag him into bed with her. He refused her with such vigor that he left his coat and just ran away. She was so insulted and embarrassed, she decided she was going to get even with the young man. She began to scream that she had been assaulted, and she decided she was going to get even, and so she kind of makes up this story, you know, to cover herself. She probably scratched her face, messed up her hair, maybe even tore her clothes, and said, you know, that that this slave tried to do this terrible, horrible thing. Here she is holding Joseph's coat. And so when Potiphar comes home, all these things are told to him, and they put Joseph in prison. He's totally innocent. He was serving God, and now nothing seems to make sense. There he is in prison. Ironically, a coat was was used against him for the second time, wasn't it? I want us to look at this story today and give you five principles. If things happen to you one day that do not make sense, and they will happen. Number one, if you're in a situation like Joseph and things don't make sense to you at all, don't demand to understand. Number one, Joseph had not sinned against God. Joseph had done absolutely nothing wrong. He was doing right. He was serving the Lord with all of his heart. He's lied about, cast into prison, falsely accused. And it's probably about that time that Satan coaxes up to him, whispers in his ear, "Now, where is your God? What good does it do for you to serve God?" See what happens when you do right? Have you heard the old phrase, "No good deed goes unpunished"? Yeah, that's the devil whispering to you. You probably heard that. But times are coming in our lives when nothing seems to make sense. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to understand. Try. But if difficulty comes your way, rely on God. Here's another verse that helps us to understand. And many people use it as their life's theme. Let's see. Our reader man, brother reader, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Trust the Lord.
Say, "He shall direct your paths," right? Make your paths straight. And it says, "Lean not on your own understanding." There will be things that you do not understand, and please do not demand to understand. May I give you a companion verse? I'm just really wearing out a reader. Go ahead, let's see, read Isaiah 50, 10 and 11. Please, sir. Do we have, I'm sorry, I'll read that one. It's just a short one. The prophet asked this question, and it's a good one. "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you that light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your paths and your torches, and you have, that you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment." That's kind of a strange verse, isn't it? What does it teach? It teaches you can be serving God, you can be obeying God's word, and still have darkness. You can come to a time you cannot understand, and yet you've done nothing wrong. So what's the answer? Trust. When you're in darkness, just keep trusting, keep obeying. Do not get the distorted idea that the Christian life is all joy and sweetness and that you always understand. Sometimes we give that wrong impression when we tell people to come to Jesus, as if their life, when they come to Jesus, is going to be ever ascending scale of joy and life, victory in youth and serene old age and a happy family life and a glorious exit into heaven. It doesn't happen that way. That's just not reality. As you study the Bible, you discover that many of God's saints were walking in darkness for parts of their lives. Job, for instance, one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament, and probably the oldest story, even though it occurs later in the Bible, Job probably predated Moses, maybe even predated Abraham. I don't know. But very old story. But Job couldn't understand. And he wanted to argue with God. He demanded to understand. And he was wrong when he did. It's as if he were saying, "God, you owe me some answers." Job did not understand, but God understood. You can read about the prophet Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, a great prophet, a man of God, who could not understand what history was doing, why God was allowing the Chaldeans to win against Israel with all their sin and evil, why there was so much violence and brutality. Have you ever wondered, you pick up a newspaper and you read what's happening in Hollywood, the drugs, the alcohol, and that was underscored recently by the death of Whitney Houston, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, and we say, "God, why is that happening? Why don't you do something? We don't understand." We say that to God. Habakkuk was the same way. John the Baptist. Jesus said of him, there's none greater born of woman. He baptized Jesus. He was a mighty prophet. And yet Herod took John and put him in prison. And John was so perplexed in prison, he began to wonder if Jesus was even the Messiah. He was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, talking about Jesus. John the Baptist sent messengers to Jesus asking, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for someone else? He might have been kind of nudging Jesus a little bit, but at least, you know, it seems like there was some doubt in his mind. John the Baptist was perplexed. The Apostle Paul wrote more books in the New Testament than anyone else, the greatest Christian who ever lived. And when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, we're perplexed. Even Paul. He didn't understand. Job, Habakkuk, John the Baptist, Paul, you, me, and the rest of us are going to come to times in our life when it will not make sense. If you think it's always going to make sense, you're going to be in spiritual trouble. As a matter of fact, this passage in Isaiah chapter 50 says, who among you fears me, that follows me and obeys me and walks in darkness and has no light? I want to tell you, the darkness can never put out the light. Never. So therefore, if there's no dark, if there's no light, it's because the light has been withdrawn. The darkness never chases away the light. If you're in darkness, it does not mean the devil has prevailed. It means God has taken away the light. Then at those times, you just trust the Lord and do not demand to understand. If there's darkness, you can say that God has allowed it. There are some things we are not meant to understand. Joseph did not understand what God was doing. All he could see was his life, you know, going downhill. I've heard that, in fact, Jim had a good one based on the S. Joseph, he was a pampered kid. Then he went to the pit, and then Potiphar's house, and then the prison, and then later to the palace. You know, but his life just kept going downhill for so long. And when we get to the end of the book of Genesis, chapter 50, we find out that Joseph was a part of God's great mosaic, a plan of salvation, that God was working in his life. Joseph believed God, served God, and obeyed God, even when he didn't understand. He allowed God to work in him, and God used him far beyond his capacity. If we believe, serve, and obey God, God can use us far beyond our capacity. Listen to Isaiah 55:8-9. I'll read this one. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How much higher are God's thoughts? Can't say. How high is high? We can't say. As the heavens are higher than the earth. So God understands, and his thinking is at so much higher, different level than we have to just trust him. Just because it doesn't make sense to you, that does not mean it does not make sense. And just because it does not make sense now, that does not mean it will not make sense later on. Not now, but maybe in coming days, weeks, years, maybe even waiting until the great beyond, until we can understand the meaning of our tears. And then we will understand. The first principle: when life does not make sense, don't demand to understand. Try and understand if you can, but don't demand to understand. Just know that there is a power that can sustain you in any ordeal. The power of Almighty God. Joseph learned this, and we need to learn it. Point number two, don't fail to be faithful. Let's read Genesis 21 and 22. You're not asleep, man. You're listening back, aren't you?
Okay. The Lord has spoken, he showed him kindness
man for no good reason. He was cast into prison, but he's not pouting. He's not sulking. He's serving the Lord, being faithful. He's a man of industry, a man of integrity. And there in the prison, in a time of darkness and persecution, he's still serving God. In the next chapter, we find him, if you read the whole story, teaching about God to the baker and the butler. You remember they had dreams, and he interpreted their dreams. One was good, and one wasn't good. But he's putting his arms around these pagans, you know, testifying of the knowledge of God. The point being this, even when Joseph did not understand, he's not a fair-weather follower. He didn't get angry. He didn't pound at God. Have you seen that happen to people, even church people? They're the most faithful. They sing. They give. They work. They're faithful. But let a grandbaby die. Let a husband die. Let sickness come. And it can take a toll. Let something happen that doesn't make sense at all. And you know what? Sometimes they do. They drop out. They quit serving. They fold up. Don't do it. Even when it doesn't make sense to continue to serve the Lord, keep singing, keep praying, keep giving, keep teaching, keep submitting, keep waiting. Joseph did, and the Bible says what? God was with him. In chapter 39, early part of that, he was in Potiphar's house, sold as a slave. He could have thought, well, my life's over now. There's no sense even trying. But he did. And then things seemed to look up for him. But when the circumstances turned for the worst, he wound up in prison. God was still with him. The same God that was with him in the better times was even with him in the darkest times. Point number three, don't bow to bitterness. Don't get bitter because it's so easy. Turn to chapter 40 of Genesis, if you're following. Look in verses 14 and 15. Joseph is talking to the butler, and the butler's been cast into prison with Joseph. But he's going to be set free, and Joseph knows that. And he's going to be back serving Pharaoh, and so he has a word with him, and he says, speak to Pharaoh on my behalf. So here's what he says, think about me and show me kindness. That is, you know, when you get out of prison. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place, for I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Here, I've done nothing for them to put me in this dungeon. He says, I was sold into slavery. I've done nothing for them to put me in this prison. Things have turned for you. You're going to be back doing good. And would you put in a good word for me? Because I need to get out of this place. You know, Joseph really wanted to get out of that prison. But look at Joseph's spirit. It's a marvelous spirit. As you read those verses, there's not a note of bitterness or complaint found there at all. He didn't name his brothers, did he? That lousy brother so-and-so, man, he was so mean to me. He didn't mention any names. Didn't mention Potiphar or Potiphar's wife trying to do him harm when it wasn't his fault. He's content to leave them with God. It's a lesson to us. When things go wrong, and when you're serving God, and you're punished for serving, don't get bitter. Here's a verse to consider, 1 Peter 2:20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. What a great verse to describe Joseph's life so long ago. We need to be careful about this matter of bitterness. God does not promise to keep us from difficulty, but he promises to help us get through those difficulties. If you do, you will get bitter if you hold it against people, if you don't leave it with the Lord. The real test in life is not how you react when you do wrong, but how you react when you're persecuted for doing right. Joseph had done right, and there's not a shred of bitterness in his life. Why do you think that is? Because God was with him. And one of the reasons God was with him was because of his wonderful attitude. When you don't understand, when life doesn't make sense, here's point number four, do not be unwilling to wait. Be willing to wait, for God will bring you out in his time. Notice in Genesis chapter 41, 36, the Bible says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. He was sold as a slave when he was how old? Teenager. Yeah. So it took all those years. And year after year, he was a slave. he was in prison, falsely accused. Now, when you don't understand, don't get hasty. Don't get impatient. Let's read Psalms 37, 5-9. It's about our last reading. He's done really good. You're getting more powerful every reading. That's good.
Go.
Over and over again in the Bible, we're told to wait upon the Lord. Don't be unwilling to wait. A preacher who was in a difficult position said, I know God has put me here, but I sure hope you remember where I am. God knows where we are. The very hairs of our head are numbered. And the God that was with Joseph as a lad, the God that was with Joseph when he was serving in Potiphar's house, and the God that was with Joseph when he languished there in prison, is the same God we can call. Another scripture to consider is 1 Peter 5, 6. I'll read that. It's just one line. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. God has his schedule. When you don't understand, don't demand to understand. Don't fail to be faithful. Don't bow to bitterness. And friend, don't be unwilling to wait. God is never late. But neither can his plans be rushed. The scripture that we read from Psalms 37 says he will come forth in righteousness as the noonday sun. Isn't that nice? It's like the sun coming up every morning. One thing about the sun coming up, you can't hurry it. It's got its schedule. It's going to be there at the right time. You can't hurry it, and you can't stop it. That's the way God is. God is always on time. I heard this story about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Difficult name, but an interesting fellow. Brilliant Russian writer and dissident. The school may have required you to read some of his books. I don't know. But he was a smart and godly man. But he disagreed with the communist system in Russia. And he was put into a communist prison camp. You know, they called it a retraining camp. And they tried to work all the God out of it. When he was released, he told the story about isolation, hunger, and depression. He told about how he was put into this labor camp, and he took away all of his books, all of his reading material. There's no radio or television, no iPod. Probably didn't have it then, but you know, there was no input from anywhere in the world. And prisoners were not even allowed to talk to one another. All day long, laborious, back-breaking work, with Russian guards standing there, loaded, ready to shoot him. This went on day after day, and it just wore him down. And he wondered if anybody knew he was there. He was a famous writer. But finally, he just had enough. He decided to end his life. He knew it would be wrong for him to take his own life, but his mind had become twisted and desperate. He thought if he just tried to escape, and they would shoot him, and then it wouldn't be him taking his own life. He decided the day that he would do it. He was sitting under the shade tree. He had a few minutes before break. And under the shade tree, he was getting ready to spring up. He'd already put his hands on the ground, you know, push up and get a fast start. He was ready to jump and be shot. But another man, a man he'd never seen before, came and stood next to him. Remember, they weren't allowed to communicate. And the man looked into his eyes with such compassion and understanding. And because he wasn't allowed to say a word, he had a stick in his hand. And on the ground, he drew a cross. He walked away. Alexander Solzhenitsyn knew it was really God telling him, don't do it, it's wrong, wait. So he relaxed, he sat back down. And little did he know, but people were talking about him, putting pressure on the Russian government. And in just 3 days, he was released. He was a free man in Switzerland, 3 days after this event. Don't be unwilling to wait. Submit yourself to the mighty hand of God. And in due time, as the scripture says, he will lift you up. Last principle in Lessons Yours. Number 5, don't let dreams dissolve. Joseph had a dream that was put into him when he was a kid, a God-given dream, we found out. And what was that dream? It was that the world's resources and the world's rulers and his family, older brothers, would come and bow to him. His brothers thought it was a joke, and it just made him mad, and they plotted against him all the more. And let's look at our last readings, Genesis 41, verse 41. You've done a great job.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt."
How about it? So now Joseph is prime minister. He was in jail just a little before, but they cleaned him up, got him before Pharaoh, and now he's exalted. A wise man has said, "Don't doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light." God did not fail Joseph, and God will not fail you. Don't let your dreams dissolve. With Joseph's life, off came the iron chains. Joseph's hands were no longer the hands of a slave. Pharaoh was now giving him gold and diamonds, and others were bowing to him. God was faithful. In all of Egypt, they were bowing down to this one. This one who was faithful. This one who did not demand to understand. This one who did not bow to bitterness. This one who was willing to wait. And folks, there's coming a day when God will make everything right. Don't lose your faith when it doesn't make sense to you. Just because it doesn't make sense to you, don't think it will not make sense one day. Serve Jesus, give him your heart, never quit, and never lose your dreams. It's always too soon to quit. And it's never too late to serve. True peace starts by knowing the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus only comes through a relationship with Him. In Christ is where all the blessings are. It's where all the promises are. The question is, do you want God on your side? Then you have to come to His side. You have to practice the presence of God. Ask God to make you the person He wants you to be. We have a song picked out. If there's a spiritual need, we invite you to come to sing that song.
Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord.